This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
Whoa!
Casey got another pick. Here's Julio down the far sideline and will score. Sacked. Brady Jarrett got another one.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. Normally, we are. It is Rob Triple in today, hanging out with me. And happy 4th of July, man. Happy 4th of July to everybody that participated and finished the Peachtree Road Race 50 years. Triple and I were talking about this, like nine guys, right? You said?
It's like 110, first one in 1970.
Yeah, and this thing has turned into, you know, 60, thousands.
000.
Yeah, thousands upon thousands. People from all over the world coming to run and participate in the Peachtree Road Race. So, very cool today. Not sure what you are doing, but whatever it is, man, I hope you're enjoying, and thank you for accessing the program here on 92.9 The Game. We've got the Falcon Report coming up. It's brought to you by our friends at Domino's. We're going to do that as part of our replay as we look back at the first half of the year and when the Falcons fired all three coordinators. That's coming up in 20 minutes, but right now we want to talk some Braves because the Braves have a big series as it continues tonight against the Phillies. It's Mike Soroka. Mike Soroka on the hill. And our man, Joe Patrick, joins us, our Braves insider, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And Joe, happy 4th of July, first and foremost.
Yeah, happy 4th of July to you guys as well. I'm looking forward to getting down to the ballpark this evening and watching some fireworks, hopefully after a Braves win.
So let's rewind to last night's W because, you know, as Rob Tribble said, listen, Aaron Nola was unhittable the other night, and I thought Dallas Keuchel was really good as well. He was just better. And then last night, boom, we explode and we score nine runs. How good, in your opinion, is this offense? Is it the best offense in the National League?
Yeah, I honestly think it is. I think it is the best offense in the National League, and I think that that's because of a lot of what you just said, that word explode, that's what this team can do, and it's a word that Brian Snicker used last night, and it's a word that Josh Donaldson used, Bryce Wilson used. They all know it. They all know that this team can just go off at any time. I mean, if you look at the game last night, the Braves kind of blew it open in the sixth inning with six runs. All six of those runs came with two outs. Of course, they got some runners on before that, but all the runs that were driven in happened with two outs. And, you know, the three-run homers are just, you know, it just seems like a regular occurrence for this team this year. If you look at the National League, only one other team has five players with 15 home runs. Right, Austin Riley just made himself the fifth Brave with 15 home runs, and he was called up in May. So it's just crazy what this team is doing from a power perspective. And it really seems like at the beginning of the season, guys like Donaldson, Austin Riley wasn't with the team, of course. Now those guys are going, and it's just created a super deep lineup from top to bottom.
Okay, Bryce Wilson looked good last night, so as a thank you, they send him back to Gwinnett, and they recall Grant Dayton. What's the thinking behind that? Is it because Dayton's a lefty?
Yeah, well, it's just any bullpen help you can get for a guy like Bryce Wilson who is not going to pitch again before the All-Star break, you might as well just get a reliever in. If he's a lefty, that gives you some added benefit to get him some matchups. It's nothing other than that. Bryce Wilson will definitely be back up after the All-Star game, and will be in line to make his next regular start.
It is our Braves insider. His name is Joe Patrick. Joe, give your Twitter address, man. I like it anyway. I just like hearing you say it.
Yeah, it's japatrick200. And you can also email me at japatrick200@hotmail.com. That was my original Hotmail address when I made it. So, yeah, been on Twitter for far too long. I think it exposes me.
Find that dial-up sound there, Jahi.
It's all right. All right, one guy, speaking of the bullpen, that I think we are going to miss, and I'm actually glad it's the All-Star break because it kind of coincides with Swarzak being out. He has been tremendous since being acquired by us from Seattle.
Yeah, he has. I mean, and when you look at his arrival, you know, his arrival with the Braves really coincides with basically the best bullpen stretch that any team has had in Major League Baseball so far this season. The Braves have had the best bullpen ERA since he was brought in. And I think that, you know, you just really see the effect. it's the effect that Swarzak has had on the bullpen, but it's also the effect that this Braves team, this Braves clubhouse has had on Swarzak to make him a much more effective pitcher than he was in Seattle. He talked to media a couple days ago just talking about how he's finally having fun again with this team, with this club. And I think that that's something that, you know, being in the clubhouse, in the Braves clubhouse, you know, it's a fun place to be. There's fun guys. There's excitable kind of characters in there. And I think it's just a fun place to play baseball for anybody right now. And it can, you know, Anthony Swarzak's story just shows kind of what impact that kind of atmosphere can have with an individual player. The good news with him, as far as his injury is concerned, is that it appears that it's not something that was caused by his mechanics or anything. Apparently, it was just something happening with a workout. So hopefully that inflammation goes down and he should be ready to roll again when he comes off the IL.
Apparently, Max Fried had a pretty good bond with Angels pitcher Tyler Skaggs, who, of course, passed away earlier this week. Did you hear him talk anything about it?
You know, I didn't hear him talk personally about that, but it's really sad. I mean, I have heard him talk a lot about in the past about, you know, his connection to that part of the world. You know, that's where he's from, the LA area, and it's obviously just really sad to hear what happened to Tyler Skaggs. I think it's a really, you know, it's a good reminder for people, kind of, you know, the pressures that some of these major league players are under, especially relievers. You know, it's a very kind of, it's a tough lifestyle. You know, you get a lot of the blame when things go wrong, and nobody really remembers you when things go right. So, it's tough to hear, and, you know, hopefully it doesn't affect Max too much. Hopefully he can pull around, and I know we're all thinking of the Skaggs family as well.
It is Joe Patrick, Braves Insider here on Dukes and Bell. Happy 4th of July. The game tonight, is Phillies' final one before the All-Star break. We'll see the Phillies again a little bit later on after this, and you know, I think when we talked about how important this series is, I got to tell you, the series after this is important because you got to beat up on the Marlins and the Mets. You know, those are the teams that you're supposed to beat. And if you handle your business against the Phillies, we're still going to be in shape to win this division. So as we head to the All-Star break, you know, how does this rotation shake out? We got Soroka tonight, and then what's it look like?
Yeah, you know, I think it'll be good. You know, you get Soroka in tonight, and then I think I can't remember off the top of my head, but I think probably Julio Teheran in the next game, and then Max Fried in game two, and then Dallas Keuchel one more time before the All-Star break. So that'll be good to get Dallas one more start before you get a nice little break in. And that, I think that kind of is finally the end of Dallas Keuchel's, you know, build up, his ramp up to you know, pitching at his top level. And obviously, as Rob mentioned earlier, we saw a much, you know, improved performance from him yesterday. I really loved, by the way, just kind of getting off on tangent on Dallas, just talking to him. What a cerebral guy for, you know, and you kind of have to be, right? When you pitch the style that he pitches, where he's not, you know, he's not going to beat you with a 95-mile-an-hour fastball. You really have to think and manage and have a game plan when you go in there. And Dallas, you know, just talking to him, you know, it's just really cool because it's kind of old school nowadays to kind of talk to a pitcher like that who kind of manages his way through a game. He doesn't strike out many guys, so he has to have a plan. And it's really cool to just kind of hear that. He's just kind of a throwback style. And I liked what he had to say, too, about, you know, the distance going, the distance he can go into a game. He said, I don't feel whole unless I'm pitching seven innings, unless I get through seven innings, which you love to hear. And it's funny because you see so many, you know, clubs around the league trying to manage kind of almost against that. You know, they don't want guys going that long anymore. So, really cool, and I think that, you know, all signs from him are very positive so far, and I think that, you know, I think what we're going to see from him is a lot of outings like he had against Philadelphia. It's really unfortunate that he ran into Aaron Nola like you guys were talking about, and I think that that will kind of overshadow what he did on the mound, but I think we're going to see really good things out of him. And I think, you know, if Bryce Wilson, if he can get it together, he has an opportunity to stick around. Unless the Braves make a trade for a starting pitcher, which, you know, I think they're probably exploring, but I don't know if they'll actually get anything done there. You know, they might just say, hey, we trust Bryce or Mike Foltynewicz when he comes back. So, you know, there's still lots of moving parts, as there has been all season with this starting rotation, but I think that they have a lot of options they can go to as well.
Our Braves insider, Joe Patrick, joining us on Sports Radio 99 The Game, the WadeFord.com hotline. I don't want Madison Bumgarner. He's not the same guy. Everybody's clamoring for him. I think they want a king's ransom for him.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the same, I don't think. What do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that it almost, you know, at least with some of the media reports that have gone around as to what, you know, the Giants are asking for someone like him, I feel like if any team gives up what is kind of being reported that the Giants want for him, I think that's a huge, huge overpay. And you know, it's one thing to overpay for a guy who's going to come in and give you bona fide A stuff. I don't even think Madison Bumgarner is that guy anymore. You know, he's not the same guy he's been in the past. He's a grizzled veteran. He's more along the lines of a Dallas Keuchel, you know, a guy who's going to slot in as a very solid pitcher for you, but he's probably not your ace. You know, he's not the top of the line guy that he used to be. So I agree with you, Rob. It'll be interesting to see if they do explore him or any other starting pitchers. There's still it should be an interesting, you know, what, 3-4 weeks ahead of us here.
Halfway point awards. Brian Snicker, manager of the year.
Oh man, I think he's got to be in contention. He's got to be in contention because when you look back to the preseason, you know, nobody was picking the Braves. If you look at the media, you know, the predictions for how the divisions and the wild card and all that are going to shake out, nobody was picking the Braves. Not even to get a wild card spot, you know? So when you think about that, you think about how difficult this division was supposed to be, and the Braves have made it look like not so difficult division. Maybe you could probably argue that it has not been a very good division. Especially when you look at the record now. But, I mean, I think the Braves have done nothing but kind of over-impress. You know, they've just been crazy good, way better than anybody thought. And I think that also you really have to look, you have to give a lot of credit to the work that Rick Kranitz has done. And I'm forgetting the name of the other coach there. But, you know, a lot of these individuals have improved so much, you know, as hitters, whether it's an Austin Riley coming in, or Anthony Swarzak, we've talked about, you know, a lot of these young guys that we were relying on to make a step up this year have actually done that. And I think that was the fear that they wouldn't be able to do that. And I think you need to give, you know, Brian Snicker, the manager and the coaches, a lot of credit for that.
Look at the National League Central. Everybody's in contention. Brewers lead the Cubs by one. Cardinals 2.5 out. Pirates 3 out. Reds 4.5 out. Who do you like?
Good question. I don't outside of the division, it's so tough to tell. It's so tightly knit.
I know.
I'm trying to stall to pull up the standings here so I can take another
look at it. I'm going Milwaukee only because of the bullpen.
I
think that is their strength, and I think the way baseball has shifted, this is funny. Relievers now are as important as starters.
They are.
Because of the way the bullpens are being used. And so you look at Milwaukee's bullpen, they may have the best closer in the game.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's really interesting that you bring that up, Carl, because it's something I've been thinking about a lot recently. When we talk about, you know, starters not going as long and more relievers are getting used, and yet it feels like relievers are the area of the team that most clubs are least likely to pay a lot of money towards. They're least likely to invest, you know, whether it's in trading prospects for solid relievers. You know, it's kind of the area where, you know, oh, if you can't be a starter, just go be a reliever. You know, considering it doesn't seem right considering how much value they have in terms of holding leads and how much they're actually getting used nowadays versus, you know, times gone by. So that is interesting. I will go with the Cubs. I mean, I just like the Cubs. When you look at that division, you look at the run differential, that's kind of it's a good marker of kind of how well a team has performed, you know, not just in the wins and losses, but kind of how they've gone about getting those wins and losses. And you look at the Cubs, you know, they've got a plus 46 run differential, which is impressive. And it's really funny how the Reds have a plus 41 run differential, and they're in last place in that division. So it's really close. You know, it's tough to say, but I'll put my money on the Cubs.
Good stuff. Joe Patrick, enjoy the game tonight. Enjoy the fireworks, by the way. Happy 4th of July, man. Appreciate you jumping on today.
Will do. Same to you guys. Take care.
All right, man. Braves conversation right there. More of that coming up next hour as we talk more about this Phillies matchup. When we return, though, I want to get Rob Tribble's thoughts on our Falcons. We are weeks away from training camp, and you'll hear one of our best of segments when the Falcons fired all three coordinators. What?
The Strong Arm Story of the Day is brought to you by John Foy and Associates Personal Injury Law.
We just had a great conversation with our Braves insider, Joe Patrick, part of our Strong Arm Story of the Day. We're going to let you hear one of our stories as we look back on the midway point of the year as the Falcons fired all three coordinators. Ironically, we're just a few weeks away from training camp. It's Dukes and Bell, Rob Tribble in today, hanging out with me on the 4th of July. By the way, before we get into this look back, what do you think the Falcons are going to do? Now, we know there's still some contract things that need to be worked out that haven't been, but they still have a few weeks to get that done. I don't think we go into camp with wondering what the Julio contract's going to look like.
I'll tell you this. You know, Vegas has Falcons over under win total 8.5. This is an 11-5 team. Falcons go 11-5 this year.
I'm with you, Tribble.
That's what I'm thinking.
I really am. This offense should be scoring 4 touchdowns a
and
week.
And surely to God, the injury, the football gods will smile upon Atlanta and not decimate this team with injuries this year.
Yeah. I totally agree.
Last year, right?
The talent's there. I totally agree with you. I get it. You know, the Saints have a much harder schedule than we do. I'll tell you that. And it's still going to come down to the Saints. But the good news is we get them Thanksgiving night. Remember, we played there last year. So, I mean, I still believe that we are going to be in the mix, but I will give the edge right now to the Saints as the team to beat because they won it in our division last year.
Because they won it
last year. So, but I agree, man. 11 wins, that's not out of the question. All right, let's take you back. Season ends and changes happened with our Falcons. It's part of our half-year look back. Some of the things we've already talked about, some of the bigger stories here on Dukes and Bell.
So many things to cover. You need almost a 6-hour show today, brother. Yeah. Well, they're only paying us for 5.
And unfortunately, I think we're done a little early because the Hawks are playing tonight. But we got a lot to get to, though, guys. And if whatever we don't get to, obviously we will cover over the next few days. We need to start with what everyone coming off of your holiday break, and we hope you had a good one, has been talking to your friends about, your family about, and certainly Falcon fans talking to each other about. And that is the changes and what it means for our team moving forward. Now, tomorrow, Mike, they're going to have the end-of-the-season presser, okay? And this is the press conference where Dan Quinn sits down and Thomas Dimitroff, our general manager, sits down, and they take questions from us, really from you. And if you guys have questions, tweet at us. If they're good enough, we'll certainly pass them on because we've got a lot of stuff we want to ask tomorrow. But it's going to happen around 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. You'll hear it live right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. But we'll digest some of these things that we are not privy to right now.
Right.
So today is one conversation, understand, and that is Mike and I reacting to what happened and how this season ended. And tomorrow, hopefully, we get more answers from Coach Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff, and then we'll move forward accordingly. I want to take you back there real quick. When the season was about to start, Mike, we did a thing. We had 4 questions, okay? And this was 4 questions leading into the start of the season. And for us to be successful, one of the things I had on the list was Sark.
Mm-hmm.
He's fired. One of the things I had on the list was the wide receiver group needs to catch balls. Going into last season, remember, or coming off of last season, 30 drops.
Right.
Then we had O-line. These were the concerns heading into the season. I'm taking you back in the summer. And then the 4th thing was, will this coaching staff led by Dan Quinn be able to lead the Falcons back to the playoffs? And we asked you guys, and we talked about it. So now that the season is played, and I said Sark is gone, the wide receiving core did not have 30 drops. They actually played fairly well considering coming off the previous season. The O-line is still a wreck. But that 4th question, will Dan Quinn and the coaching staff be able to lead us back to the playoffs? Now, I'm not going to use injuries as an excuse because nobody seems to be using it as an excuse up at Flower Branch.
Hey, we got it from Dan Quinn's the horse's mouth a week ago, Carl. I asked him. I said, when we write the story of this season, and I told you earlier before the show, I said, are we going to say it was about injuries that you just couldn't overcome, or was it a handful of plays that weren't made that make you 9-7 wild card? He goes, it's the latter. So Dan Quinn, on record, is saying he will not accept the injuries as the overriding story. You can't blame it on the injuries.
So here's the thing, guys, as we get into getting rid of all 3 coordinators, your special teams coordinator, your offensive and defensive coordinator. I don't think anybody who watched the Falcons over the last couple of years was surprised that Sark got. If you were, you weren't paying attention. The last 5 games of the season, our team didn't average more than 20 points a game. Still with the firepower we had on the field, despite the O-line, I just think the end result for Sark was the inconsistency of Mike, creativity and being able to set teams up, and not only for the next play, but for the next series, for the next game down the road. That's what this was all about. But the Marquand Manuel firing, Mike Bell, what is up with this?
Yeah, it's interesting because remember Richard Smith, Dan Quinn takes over the defensive play call in the final, like almost over, like a quarter to a half of the season, the year we go to the Super Bowl. Marquand Manuel's his protege, if you will. That's his guy's been with him, kind of, you know, handpicked. A lot of people feel he's on the fast track. At least he was until this kind of, you know, detours him as far as getting a chance to be a head coach. When were those decisions made? I mean, what was going on? Was it Dan that was calling the shots when they would get so aggressive with the blitz in Green Bay? Was Dan calling the shots defensively when we were doing some screwing up things against the Cowboys? I don't know. Either way, Carl, it's a time-honored tradition in the NFL, and these guys know it. What did Bump Phillips say? There's 2 kind of coaches, coaches that are fired and coaches that are about to get fired. But to scapegoat a guy that's supposed to be your boy, and I'll use the phrase scapegoat because that's exactly what it is. You know, and Armstrong, I love Keith Armstrong, Carl. Special teams has been brutal.
It has.
Special teams has been brutal for a couple of years with this team. So that one I don't feel as much. But I'm with you on the Marquand Manuel thing. What's up with that?
Yeah, I'm going to read you a quote. This was the press release that was released right after this news came out. Some of you were in town. Some of you weren't, like us. And it talks about Marquand Manuel. It talks about Sark, Coach Armstrong. But the phrase or the paragraph, Mike, about Marquand Manuel, Marquand is a talented coach and excellent teacher. He goes on to say, this is Coach Quinn, that I have coached with him for a number of years. I believe he should have the opportunity to call plays for a defense. So we have decided to allow his contract to expire so he can explore these opportunities. Psst, he was calling plays for a defense. Guys, I got to tell you, and I'm not rooting for Marquand Manuel to get his job back or any of that. I'm just telling you, this is a peculiar situation we're talking about where you had a guy that was with you in Seattle, came from there, mm-hmm. was with you the last couple of years, coached your DBs, and was your defensive coordinator, a guy you trusted and who knew the system, but yet you decided to allow his contract to expire so we could explore these opportunities? Mike, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy that had a defense in the top 10 last year. This is a defense. Remember, the defense did its job. The offense didn't work last year, and that's why we didn't get anywhere other than the playoff win against the Rams. So if you're going to take Marquand and say, yeah, it's on him, on a year when you lose Debo, Ricardo, Keanu Neal, Grady at a time, you know, I mean, there's enough. I don't have to remind you guys about the injuries, but doesn't he get a pass for that when your stars, your bigger stars on the defense are gone? After he just showed you he has the prowess to be a top 10 defensive coordinator?
With the players.
With the players,
with
yeah.
the players on the field. So, guys, that one just doesn't wash with me, all right? I'm curious to see what Dan Quinn says about this. Here's the bigger thing, and if you missed this, now DQ is going to be our defensive coordinator, okay? So he is now going to, in essence, run the defense. He did this year. We went to the Super Bowl. Mike and I talked about this. Halfway through the season, basically, Richard Smith was our DC, said, done. And our defense got better, and we got turnovers, and you guys know how the story goes. So I am not as concerned about where we're going with Coach Quinn. Here's the deal, though. Heat is on. Because if we don't get it done, it's on you. And I want to speak directly to Coach Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff right now, Mike Bell, because here's the deal with these guys. Tomorrow I'm curious to hear what they have to say, but when you fire three coordinators, mm-hmm. at what point is the head coach held accountable? Here's what I know about this season and since Coach Quinn has been here. Clock management has been an issue. Facts. Losing streaks. This year we had three games we lost, five in a row. Leadership, player development. These are things. That's coaching. So as much as we want to talk about these coordinators getting got, some of this responsibility has to fall on the shoulders of the head coach.
Well, this is it. I mean, it's as you like to say, brother, it is nut-cutting time because this will be one year for Dan Quinn. If they don't make the playoffs this year, he'll be gone. That's the reality. I mean, it's on him. This is a poker game. All the chips are in the center of the felt. Okay, so it's on DQ to do it. I don't know where they're going to go with OC. Rumors are that they're going to get Cutter. I like Cutter. I want Cutter back because Matt Ryan's comfortable with Dirk Cutter. I feel bad for Sark because, you know, I mean, yeah, there were some screwy things that Sark were doing, but, Carl, I think we look at how bad the O-line is. When does Arthur Blank look at the personnel department? Whether it's Dimitroff, Pioli, whoever is picking up the offensive linemen, that's a big issue because it doesn't matter who you bring in as OC. If you can't fix that, we're right back to where we started.
This OC hire will define Coach Quinn's coaching tenure here in Atlanta. The Kyle Shanahan hire, guys, was easy. 10 years, play calling in the NFL, pedigree. I don't think it was any secret that Kyle Shanahan knew what he was doing. The Sark hiring, Mike, that is on Quinn. And for Sark to fail as he did here because he's not here anymore
right.
is on Quinn. Because you know what he asked him to do? Come in and run another guy's offense. Come in and see. Oh, well, hold on. You don't have your main pieces here in camp, so I know. Let's see what else we can do with these other pieces. And I'm going back two off seasons
right.
ago.
And that's also, don't forget, guys, Sark on an island. Bush Hamden was the backup. That's the guy that was the quarterback. Exactly.
No other eyes.
No, I mean, at least this year you had Knapp in there to help out. And Knapp right now is still on the staff. So Knapp will stick around, which gives us some continuity. As we said, Cutter, very similar. Cutter in 2012, we had a really good offensive line. They tried to rebuild it, and it did not work. And in 13 and 14, we sucked. Right, it was that middle-of-the-road stuff. Matt still had decent terrible. Numbers, but he was forcing throws because it was all on him. The offensive line just wore down. So, to me, all these conversations about the offensive coordinator are a moot point until you fix the offensive line. Do you have enough money to do that? I mean, I'm told now that you can't get kids in college to come and play in the first year. That's the new thing. So got to go find some guys, right? Because the guys we have are not working.
Here's the deal, though, guys. Here's the reality of where we are. It's Dukes and Bell. 404-741-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to text the show. Follow us on social media. Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up, see Dukes, and this radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. Of course, the radio station, 929 The Game. Since Quinn has been here, 2DC is gone now. Since Quinn has been here, 1OC left, 1OC fired, okay? Hadn't been here 9 years. This is a four-year period. Now, I get it's going to the Super Bowl, but as we like to say on this show, we didn't win it.
Well, that's just it. Okay? I don't know what kind of statute of limitations blowing the biggest lead in Super Bowl history entails, but I'm done. I mean, to me, it's 1 year for Quinn, and that's it. Right? It's playoffs or bust. It's not just play. What? I mean, how do we get in the playoffs? What do we do? I mean, you've got to do something real special next year. And if I'm Arthur Blank, you know, I'm saying, look, what are we doing here? This is Matt Ryan in his prime, Julio in his prime, all these young studs, who, by the way, Dan Quinn helped Dimitroff go draft. So it's not all doom and gloom. But they got to fix the things right now. Number one, Carl, you got to find somebody alongside Grady Jarrett, and you've got to go get an offensive line.
I totally agree. I want to hear from you guys. We got a lot to get to this afternoon. Bottom line for me and Sark, and this is why this OC hire is so big. Regardless of what the O-line was or wasn't, too many times this season, our high-powered offense underperformed. Period. Julio's on the field. Snooze on the field. Hoops on the field. You had playmakers on the field, and we underperformed. You better get it right. Well, you better get it right, Mike.
You watched the game yesterday, I should say, on Sunday against the Buccaneers. Actually, a pretty entertaining game. Unfortunately, it meant nothing, but you had no pass rush. Tack had one sack. You had Alford and Trufant chasing Mike Evans and everybody all around the field. You know, I mean, it was an interesting game because you battled from 17 points down, and then unfortunately, in the offensive line, they were getting after Matt. It was kind of a microcosm of our season. You know, a lot of things which just didn't happen. You were getting a good win. And I know a lot of people all week last week, like, why are we winning? It doesn't help us in the draft. We'll see how that plays out. Only time will tell. But, yeah, these are three wins that really don't really do anything for us.
All right, guys, what are your thoughts? And, again, Mike and I's first chance since the new year to really react to these firings and what it means for our team. We'll break that down as well moving forward. And our team certainly has a lot of decisions to make. But first, this is the news. And now you're looking for, you know, special teams coordinator. I'm not going to diminish the position, but you can find a good special teams coordinator. The offensive coordinator, that's a big deal. Matt Ryan is 33 years old, going into a new contract about to pay him $30 million a year. Your window is still open. Julio, 29. Free, 24. You want me to go on? Down the list, you got 20-something-year-old guys across the board on offense, and that is where most of the money has been spent. Sanu's not 30. Hoop's not 30. You got to get this right.
Right. And unfortunately, guys, you know, this season is in the crapper. We're done. Now we can look back and we can say, all right, what happened? What we've got to learn from these. The same thing happened after the trip to the NFC Championship in 2012.
That is our look back. Man, we're on fire. And guess what? They drafted offensive line.
You guys are oracles, sages.
It's unbelievable. Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell. Rob Tribble in. He's got an In Case You Missed It coming up next.
Busy. Pretty busy.
Who busy?
Busy.
What? I'm very busy right now.
Hey, man.
It's time now for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conti.
Have I got good news for you?
Right here on Dukes and Bell.
I just had a cruel joke played on me.
You gotta share that. That's pretty funny.
It is Dukes and Bell. Rob Tribble's got In Case You Missed It coming up here in just a second. We'll get to our top three and six, including what's going on with the Braves. And one other look back. Next hour, take a guess at what it is, that happened this year as we take a look in the review rearview mirror for the last 180 days as we're halfway point through the sports year. So earlier today, I came in, Paul Crane's in doing the updates. Tribble and I are out there chopping it up in the bullpen. And I was telling a story about I had taken the, we have two trucks, so I'd taken one truck and my wife hadn't driven the truck, my truck, the other truck that we have. And so she's like, oh, you took the truck? I was supposed to go get the kids. I need a truck. And I'm like, well, just take mine. She's like, I hadn't driven yours. And I'm like, I get it. And it's a full-size deal, you know, full-size truck. So she's like, okay, but I'm really nervous. So I'm like coaching her through this because it's a spatial thing. If you drive a smaller car and you get into a big truck, sometimes it messes with you.
Sure.
Long story, Rob. I'm telling Tribble. I'm telling Paul Crane. Man, I'm nervous because, you know, last thing is, Man, she'll get into an accident. So I'm like, let me know how it goes. So 1 hour goes by, 2 hours go by. I know that she was supposed to pick him up at like 4:30. I don't hear back. I just texted my daughter. I'm like, yo, what's going on? Is everything cool? My daughter, who is me, says, Dad, there's no reason to worry. No one was seriously hurt.
Oh, geez.
This is the text I get back. So this is the first time that my wife's driven this truck, and I'm like, what? So I'm like, wow. You got into an accident for real? Where at? What's going on? Dad just called me. Cruel.
Man.
Cruel, cruel.
It's time for you to fake a heart attack next Saturday.
So I call. Now I'm in a panic because I'm thinking, like, they've been in an accident. It's 4th of July.
Oh, that horrible sinking feeling.
I'm like, oh, man, it's the first time she's driven a truck. We're playing with you. All right, I got y'all.
Oh,
I got y'all. The big practical joke's coming back. It's coming back on you.
Fake a heart attack.
Dribble, what you got working, man?
All right, there's a trend. You know, Tide Pods came and went. Now there's a new trend of tampering with food products, putting them back on the shelves.
What?
Yes. Last week, a woman in Lufkin, Eastern Texas. Familiar with that part of the world?
Oh, yeah. That's it is East Texas. That's like east of Houston.
Well, she was filmed in a branch of Walmart. She opened up a tub of ice cream, licked it, then placed it back in the freezer.
What?
Yes. They identified her. And she's been charged with a second-degree felony of tampering with a consumer product. She can get up to 20 years for this, by the way.
She licked the top of an ice cream tub.
Yes. But wait, there's more. A third person who goes by the name Sean Mendez on Twitter had his friend film him scooping out a chunk of ice cream with his hand before putting it back in the freezer. And then he bragged about it, made a subsequent video of an apparent visit he received from a police officer. But wait, there's more. There's another one where this transgender individual takes a swig of mouthwash before spitting it back in the bottle.
Oh! Oh, that's disgusting. That's disgusting.
If that's the future of our country right there, my friend.
What is wrong with people? Why are you in a store licking the tops of ice cream and putting it back?
Because you're an attention-seeking a-hole. That's why.
Well, here's the other thing, Rob Tribble. Why are you videoing this?
Well, who said they were not stupid criminals, right?
Oh, man. First of all, I hope she gets charged. I hope she gets... You know what? Who does that? And you go into the store, you think you're buying...
Millennials do it. That's who does it.
You think you're buying stuff that is no one's tampered with. That is absolutely disgusting. This is in case you missed it, by the way. Rob Tribble hanging out with me today on here on Dukes and Bell.
All right, you know, this is 50th anniversary of Woodstock this summer, right?
50th?
50th. Okay. 1969. Did you know a month before that, July 4th of 69, Atlanta had their own version of Woodstock at Atlanta Motor Speedway?
I did not know that.
Atlanta International Pops Festival was like 200,000 people.
Really?
Janis Joplin, Led Zeppelin, et al. They did it again in 1970, July 4th weekend, down in Byron, Georgia. And about midnight on July 4th, this left-handed guitarist took the stage. This is the actual audio of Jimi Hendrix in Byron, Georgia.
He's a bad man.
Yeah.
He's a bad man.
Allman Brothers, B.B. King also performed that weekend. Jimi Hendrix died 2 months later, by the way.
Are you serious?
September of 1970. That is correct.
So this festival, so what happened, Rob? You just died out?
Just died out. Alex Cooley, the legendary concert promoter here in town, got that thing going in 1969 at Atlanta Motor Speedway, then Byron, Georgia, the next year, which is south of there. And then it just went away, and he brought back Music Midtown in a different incarnation back in, 1994 is when that started.
Very interesting, man.
So
Hendrix. You know, we talk about this. Like, is there an artist that you could go back and see?
Oh, that'd be one of them.
No
you
doubt.
You kidding me?
If I had a chance.
That and Led Zeppelin, too.
Like a time warp.
Oh, yeah. Did you know we had three presidents die on July 4th? Three of the founding presidents. We had John Adams. And Thomas Jefferson and James Monroe all died on July 4th.
No, I did not know that. I knew Jefferson, Adams, should I say. I did not know Jefferson died on 4th.
Thomas Jefferson and James Monroe died on the same day in 1826. That's kind of spooky.
And crazy. Yeah, it is.
Say goodbye to the Pillsbury throwboy, Jared Lorenzen.
Oh, man, I know. I heard this.
Dude, he lit up Georgia his years at Kentucky. Never beat him. He threw for 500 yards 1 year against Georgia. His whole career at Kentucky. Over 10,000 yards, 90 touchdowns.
He was Mr. Kentucky, Mr. Football.
Beloved.
Yes.
Got up to over 500 pounds, and the health issues did at 38.
Well, so. You know, Rob, and I said this, and it may sound cruel. I think, you know, if you struggle with weight issues, you get this. But he was never in shape. He was a fat guy that could play. Okay, and unusually, fat guys don't play quarterback for the most part.
Yeah,
but that's what made him unique.
Got a Super Bowl ring backing up Eli, by the way.
Yeah, with the Giants, but he could sling it. But man, these issues with the weight came back to bite him. It's sad. Yeah, that he died yesterday, if I believe right.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. Another bad story on Kyrie Irving. Jackie McMullen, we know her.
Yeah,
brilliant at what she does. At the completion of the regular season, the Celtics set up 100 balls for charitable partners. Everyone signed them except Kyrie Irving. Pressed to do it, say sources. He was neither aggressive nor confrontational. He merely said, nah, I'm not interested in that.
Wow. If that wasn't a, I'm out. That's an out moment.
Right? Why did Peyton Manning turn down the Monday Night Football gig? Does not want to be critical of Eli. He would have had two of his games this year.
Are you serious?
And there's a lot of other former teammates and friends didn't want to be critical of him, so that's why he turned down the gig.
Well, you know what? I respect that. Because here's the deal. Take the job, right? He's going to make $20 million. Nobody knows the game as well as Peyton. He's a student of the game.
Yeah.
But you do have to be critical. By the way, who's the best color guy right now? Is it Tony Romo?
Oh, absolutely.
I think so, too.
Quickly, nightmare scenario. A ball python slithered out of a toilet, bit a South Florida man on the arm. Is that like the most nightmarish thing you can imagine?
Out of the toilet?
Yes.
It's
a nightmare.
In case you missed it, that's good stuff, man. Rob Tribble, the most dangerous man in radio. Hanging out, man. Happy 4th of July. We got Top 3 at 6 coming up. More of a look back on one of the stories that everybody's still talking about. And who knows what else? Stay right there.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.